buddy. Oh my gosh, look at all that background noise. We're in the car. It's this is the last week of February 2020. And we're in Moo. Which is the big my Ford Explorer camper hanging out vehicle. It's Monday morning. We're making our way to Portales. We need to give it kind of a interesting thing. I'm going to work after another nice weekend. At home. Didn't have to do any... didn't have to worry about any flooding problems, particularly today. A couple of little scares. But, yeah. Things are going pretty well. Oh, golly.
Apologize.
Oh, my goodness. It's crazy. Regardless, I am, I think I've almost got Lisa talked into doing a podcast with me, which is really interesting. Lisa, I introduced Lisa to the No Agenda show. I don't think she really liked it much in the beginning. She's really, 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 really down on any kind of bad language, risque language, and the guys do it occasionally. And it was really I think at first she would tolerate it, but then she kind of, instead of getting into the delivery, which is, you know, a lot of people, that's their thing. They don't like the style, I guess. But then I guess she started getting into the content a bit. And she was kind of getting into that, you know, the media deconstruction, the fact that, you know, these guys are saying, these are all liars, or, it's really not hard to go poking holes at the media, because the media is so rife with corruption, which is hilarious. One of the points of, what's referred to in the Constitution of the press is to be a check against runaway government, runaway power, and the fact that in other places you can use the law to stifle the press, so that people wouldn't know what was really going on. You know, if powerful people wanted to do corrupt things, there was nothing to stop them. I think I always write a law that says, okay, this thing is out of business and that thing's out of business. And this was a really big thing. Can I be honest? This is an example of the downfall of Joseph Smith. He probably would not have, well, not that plenty of people worked after him for one thing or another, because they just wanted to get him, destroy him. But the thing that finally got him was the destruction of the Nauvoo Expositor Press. And Joseph Smith had destroyed for being a public nuisance. And that was a bad calculation. That was a bad calculation. But the funny thing is that, you know, you don't have to worry about curtailing the freedom of the press. Just buy them off. You know, the regalization of government officials. You know how people in Britain treat the Queen. You know, oh, we don't say anything bad about the Queen because the Queen's wonderful and stuff like that. Now, I think Elizabeth has cultivated and garnered that sort of an attitude because she kind of really is an up-and-up sort of person. I'm sure other people say, oh, they're so horrible. Do I think the royal family's corrupt? No, I don't think the royal family's corrupt. You know, do they ask that you treat them well? Yes. Yeah, there's some press that doesn't. But they pretty much get ignored. And everybody knows that they're just, you know, they're just rags. But, in the United States, it seems as though the press really has this strange kind of playing 50 under the table, sometimes not even under the table. Sometimes it's very obvious. Love affair with the political elite. And so, you can say all day long, well, we're not gonna, you know, the whole point of having a free press was that there would be some, that there wouldn't be anything hindering the report of government corruption. That was seen in other places where you needed to have the king's seal, the king's approval, to put out papers. You know, I think it had to do with the Stamp Act at the time that said, you know, you couldn't distribute anything without the approval of the government, and the government could just withdraw that approval if it was something that the government didn't like being said. And people found out that this was being used to control public opinion. Oh God. Scratch me. Anyway, but that's neither here nor there. Lisa was really starting to get fun off of the No Agenda show, and I said, Lisa, we should do our own podcast. I had tried it with some of my kids, but it just never really gelled, particularly. You know, we do a couple of episodes, and it would just kind of go, bleh, bleh, bleh. because the kids were, you know, kind of one-trick ponies. And not saying that I'm not thinking that way anyway, but anyway,
make more money being a lecturer and a speaker
did you ever weld anything else? What's a good example of that? Who's that young fella? Shapiro, Ben Shapiro. He really, you know, he's really made his fame by being a television pundit, and I think now he does it mostly off of podcasts and speaking engagements, or he used to do speaking engagements. I don't know how many speaking engagements he does now. There was a time there for a few years and he was doing a ton of speaking engagements. And there must be a lot of money in it. Somebody was talking, I think it was Jordan Peterson. The sad part was I had all these Jordan Peterson recordings. I really needed to archive and to store them because I think we're going to lose a lot of them if Jordan Peterson is now propagating too much. Anyway, Jordan Peterson revealed that his speaking engagements were really starting to be the bulk of his income. And I mean a lot. They said that he might have been worth a few $1 million already. And it was mostly due to people paying him to come in to speak to groups. He was going out on tour, and there was a lot of money being made that way, much more than being on this or that, although all of his larger notoriety that brought in speaking engagements were tied to him being, it was all about that 16 bill, you know, the one that says that you have to use somebody's preferred pronoun because they're, you know, if they want to be identified in a certain way by pronouns, you have to do it. He said, no, I will not have my speech curtailed. And he refused to do it, and that's what launched him into the limelight on like TV shows and stuff like that. And he became famous that way, but then he did a pretty good job of building that fame. So really quite interesting. I think Ben Shapiro, now all these guys have gotten into this differently, but at some point it always became, they became controversial figures. I don't know what Ben Shapiro said that turned him into a controversial thing. But, you know, it kind of launched his, he's got something akin to a radio show. It's actually a podcast, but he did that. I think he's done radio. He had a radio show for a long time before all the rest of this stuff happened. The big thing is to get notoriety about something, and that will kind of open the door to all these other things. Now, apparently these things won't last forever. But, you know, they always produce something. And the No Agenda show is an interesting take on, you know, the monetization of what you're doing. They just do it right up front. You're a producer of their show. You give a lot of money. they'll give you a big mention if you send them a note. They'll read the note on the air as long as it's not too disgusting. You know, and they cater to that. And they call it, Adam Curry calls it the value model. And that's how they do it. That way they don't take advertising as their stick, is that they can say whatever they want about whatever they want, and they're not going to be influenced by advertisers. And that's a pretty big deal when you are working over the media. And so they found a good combination there. There was a time when getting yourself on YouTube and putting stuff out there could turn into a pretty good model. You could make a pretty good living off of just putting stuff up on YouTube. But YouTube started demonetizing things along the lines of stuff that YouTube just didn't like. They weren't taking down, well, I can't say that. I think on a few cases they actually took down videos because they were just what they considered to be over the top. But their primary thing was not to take down videos, but was to demonetize. People who were using the menu to make money, and it was rigged that way to a certain extent. And yeah, the No Agenda Show just kind of sidestepped that completely. They didn't really do anything on they just didn't use YouTube at all. Other people may have put their stuff on YouTube, and they were stopping it. But yeah, it was making no money. So that's why they said, oh, no, you just pay us directly. It's really easy. The people who are listening to the show, they call the producers, just send us your money. And, you know, they're not getting rich at all, as far as I'm aware of. Of course, they're not really saying how much they pull in. It was really quite interesting when Jordan Peterson was talking about how much money he makes. He was making over $100,000 a month. And he actually kind of broke it down a little bit. And he got really sick. He was taking an antidepressant, and apparently it was toxic. I wouldn't be surprised at all. You know, you're saying, oh, you're a crazy conspiracy theorist. But we've seen this happen so many times, where when somebody starts getting a lot of power and they're not saying things or doing things or being the kind of person that the powers that be find acceptable, or they're not, they don't seem to be willing to be corrupted, that all of a sudden these people will catch some strange disease or things like that. Jordan Peterson is, apparently, he's currently in Russia undergoing some really kind of exotic treatment that you can't get in the West. For his troubles, and he's had really kind of a death scare. And it really is. I am of the opinion that somebody is trying to kill him, trying to get rid of him. And there's still a lot of people who say, well, I don't know who this guy is. I've never heard of him. And it's like, oh, okay. And this is the right time to eliminate somebody, is before they really gain a really big following. You really have to do that so that so now would be the time before he really gets to be somebody. You know, people say, we'd really like to put you forward as a political person. He said, well, you know, I've thought about being a political person in the past. But, and he said, I don't know if I want to be that. But, you know, it sounds like he's going to be persuaded. So it could very well be that he would be political, because political people have something of a bully pulpit. And they can really, they can really affect things in a very, I think I'm going to try a different pump here, a very poignant way. And, the powers that be are very, very covetous of the power that they have, and they saw him as a definite threat to it. And so I would be the first one to say, yeah, I think Jordan Peterson was poisoned by the powers that be that didn't really want him saying the things that he was saying and doing the things he was doing. It was going against their power base, and that's exactly what such people will never allow to have done. Anyway, let me go ahead and shut this off or pause it or something, and we'll get back to it in a minute. See you in a minute. All right. We're back. Traveling Go. Yeah, you know, and you can do the title for the podcast, you know, Jordan Peterson Must Die. And, you go, oh, that's such clickbait. And you go, no. It'd only be clickbait if I wasn't really talking about that for some people, Jordan Peterson Must Die. You know, I'm not saying that. I like Jordan Peterson. I think he's a great guy. And I think he does an incredibly valuable service to humanity. And the fact that that he got very sick from it. Everybody can say, oh, no, it's okay. But you go, well, it says medical prescription dispensing is highly regulated. And when anything is highly regulated, it can be goofed with by the powers that be. You know, this is not a difficult thing. And I would say part of the reason that he would go to Russia to get this treatment would be to get him away from the West. Because the West is, the powers in the West are highly connected. And they aren't going to be allowed to do things. I guess we had a podcast going on here in the U.S., and all of a sudden now, that podcast doesn't work. And it's like, wow. Is he pissing off all the right people? And you're going, he may very well be. That a whole lot of people decided that he is not... He's not an acceptable person anymore, and that we will use whatever, of course, we can bring to bear to stop him. So, getting to Jordan Peterson now is quite difficult, and not surprising that he might have been, eliminated, tried to be eliminated. And you've got some place where most powers can't touch it. Kind of a Snowden thing. And, said to be said for that, for the powers that be here in the West, that, they don't like being screwed with. And, what's his name? Snowden was certainly screwing with the powers that be in the West. And, he had to leave. What did he tell you? Still just as likely as ever. But if he ever came to the United States, he would last about 2 seconds before he was locked up, never to be seen again, or heard from again. So, and sadly, if I could have said, well, George, that he is such an enemy to power that they had to get rid of him. Of course, I gotta be honest, Canada is so, glass jaw that it wouldn't take much at all to persuade, the Canadian version, the Canadian branch of the GADIAD. Yeah, of course. Well, there's a whole back on that. Look it up on the internet. Look up GADIAN. G-A-D-I-A-N-T-O-N. GADIAN. The name of a guy, actually. And, GADIAN Robbers. And you'll find out what exactly, is happening, you know. Canadians are lightweight, but they're very, 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 very sensitive to this stuff. So, where in like the United States or Britain, perhaps, you'll have the powers that be will put up with quite a bit of garbage before you'll really see them doing something about it. The Canadians won't put up with hardly anything at all. You know? Just can't really take it. That's Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson was, we're gonna get rid of this guy. On any level into the political realm, it became very obvious that he would be a problem. And I think, I'm sure both were done. But then if you put up the Trudeau kid against Jordan Peterson, that he could have been a political threat if he wanted to be, and yes, it was time to eliminate him. Time to get rid of him. You know. Anyway, so there's that. Wow. And that was all about saying, so we've been looking at these other podcasts, and I've been thinking that we need to just go ahead and do something along these lines. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, and then Emerald's a little crazy, things like that. Still won't go into that. It has to be kind of lightweight. And that's really all my point. Already, I think. I'll be the guy who we'll do stuff about what Lisa likes. We'll do stuff about what other people, what they like. It's a really interesting figure. I find Lisa absolutely fascinating. She's the pea princess. You remember that story, The Princess of the Pea? Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who also builds and operates temples. So my service is primarily to temples, and my wife and I go to the temple quite a bit, because that's what I feel is part of my responsibility as a Levitical priest. That's where it comes from, the princess and the priest. You have princess and the frog, stuff like that. There's some entertainment sides to that, and I think it would make for a very interesting podcast. You know, you go, well, you don't really have a specific group, you know. You go, well, he does a lot of reviews of like Hallmark movies. Lisa and I get on the whole Hallmark movie thing, and Lisa really likes them. And you know what? I'm okay with them too. You know? Like I said, most of our video collection now that we've amassed over the years, usually out of the $5 or the $374 bin at the Walmart, that's kind of being overshadowed by the online free ad-supported video service, Crackle, Tubi. A lot of people, you know, for tons of people now, it's Roku. We just recently got. Come on. I can't get the thing to come on there and get blinded. We recently had, we finally got a one of those big screen flat screen TVs with the LEDs in them, and we had a big old CRT 26-inch TV for a while. Never watched TV with them. Always just watched videos. I got one LCD, which is a monitor at the time. That one gave out. These are not endurance pieces of equipment at all. It's really sad. It used to be in the old days, you would keep the same TV. We had the same TV for 15 years. And I bought that one for $25. But the first LED TV that we bought died. So we got those really cheap Roku TVs, you know, the ones that the Chinese use for monitors and stuff like that. I always say hi to the NSA when I come into the room, just to be nice. Do I believe we're being monitored? Yes. Now, not that everybody's being monitored, but they keep an eye on you. And if you start doing things that they don't like, of course, there's going to always be a lot of people that say, well, that's fine, because you know, if you can catch criminals through their TVs looking at them, that's a pretty good, you know, people will say, well, we approve of that. Sure, we can let law enforcement have access to the camera and the microphone that are built in. I know my my TV has a microphone built in because it actually has a voice. You can use it with voice response. It can do that. Of course, we all have those. No, we don't. I don't. Amazon Alexa boxes or the Google, whatever it's called, box, the Google version of it. Anyway, so we got one of those, so now we've got kind of a Roku TV. It's got all kinds of channels on it, and it's got all the things that we're accustomed to seeing. It's got YouTube, all those things. So, I would imagine that the podcast, The Princess and the Priest, will be will have something to say about these videos. Of course, I'll always put kind of a social, cultural spin on it. Maybe political. Kind of depends. Lisa and I are interesting in that she is conservative and I am a liberal. I'm a classical liberal, which means that I can also be declared as a libertarian. I'm actually a registered libertarian. I can only vote in libertarian primaries, which are kind of hilarious in my state, because we usually don't have more than one candidate for even a handful of offices that you can vote for in a primary. Anyway, Lisa was a Republican. I actually used to be a registered Democrat, but I only registered as a Democrat so that I could, so that I would have something to do on primary, during the primary election. I rarely voted Democrat. All my family was scared to death because they said, "Oh, he's a Democrat." You know, no, not really. I'm not a member of the party. I'm a member of the Democratic Party. Because I rarely vote Democrat. Now, in the primaries, sometimes I would even kind of be the snarky guy who actually votes for the candidate that shouldn't win. Like, it would be fun now. Powers that be really don't want Bernie Sanders to be the Democrat nominee. They want somebody a little more centrist. They really wanted Biden. Biden's a terrible candidate. And the field is horrendous. Mostly socialists. Bernie is an out-of-the-closet socialist. Most of them just are in the closet but are spouting the occasional socialist idea. And there really is no centrist except for the gay guy, the young gay fella. And you're going, no. Anyway. Regardless, yeah, and the fact that the Democrats are just a conglomeration of splintered off fringe political groups is always kind of a bad thing, because now they're having problems getting all those people to coalesce around one candidate. And that might be the real problem for the Democrats. Let's see, I have wandered into the politics, I've wandered into other things, so Lisa's probably far more interested in talking about the movie thing, princess movie. Lisa loves a bonnet movie, too, and a lot of the stuff that's served up on, like, the Hallmark Channel, and I don't forget which other channel. Lifetime channel is just kind of modern bonnet movie. And so, do that, and that fits into the princess side of things. Of course, me being a priest, I tend to weigh in on larger cultural and religious matters, and and of course, everybody sees it everywhere if you've ever watched Fiddler on the Roof. And, Kerchick and, Huddle are talking about marriage. And Kerchick says, well, everything's political, you know, even marriage. He goes, marriage is political? Everything's political. You know, and he starts explaining how it's a good marriage is based on a solid socioeconomic base and stuff like that. But, oh my God, you know, God, he's get off his crap. And they go, well, that's me. I'm Kerchick. Except I've got the first thing I have to do. It's my responsibility to do this, so I will do that. Of course, I'm a, you know, when people think priest, they usually think Catholics, and I'm not Catholic. Definitely a Jewish Latter-day Saint, JLDS, and I've got a dual citizenship in both Judaism, which doesn't have any way to stop me because it's my past. So I said, well, your mother's not Jewish. And you go, oh, that's that silly tradition. Trust me. Way back to Aaron has to come through the patrilineal line, not the matrilineal line. And I'm married to a girl who's from the tribal people. So you know what? Piss on you. You know, and they say, well, he's not really Jewish. You go, fine. I'm a Cohen. And even though it has a feature in the Jewish tradition, it's not married to it. Sorry, guys. I said, you guys have wandered quite far, and I don't care. It doesn't really matter if the Jews accept me. He says, I am who I am. Get used to it, and I am going to behave as I feel like, and as I interface with God, I'm going to behave the way that I feel, and the way that God makes me feel about this, to say, what should we do, and what is, when one speaks for God, that's what you have to do. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, I'm just doing the best I can, given the inspiration and the information that I have. Not a rabbi, not really interested in becoming a rabbi. You know, I don't feel bound by the laws of orthodoxy. Pharisaical. You know, the Pharisees in the Bible, those are orthodox. You know, the law, 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 law. They interpret law, they reinterpret law, and they become a big old pile of lawyers. You know, this is what the law means. Of course, it's the Mosaic law by laws, but how it relates to every aspect of life. And, land up. I don't care. So anyway, the princess and the priest married, and just two completely different people that have been married together for nearly 32 years, had six children, very interesting children. And doing what it is you do. If you've ever felt like you didn't belong, you weren't the standard sort of person, hey, we should make you feel good. we'll set it up so the microphone's actually a little closer to Lisa, because she's a little softer spoken than I am. And hopefully we're gonna get her stirred up, because you can. Do I know how to? Sometimes. I don't think I really ever intend to stir her up. I just can stir her up. And those are entertaining times. Lisa is the queen of common sense. She is amazing. She's the princess of the people. She's the queen of common sense. And it's going to be really, I think it's going to be entertaining. And we'll see how it all goes, you know. And when people say, well, how'd you pick your subject matter? And you go, it's just stuff that's interesting to us. You know, well, however do you build an audience? And you go, you just go out there and you organically do it. If you mention other podcasts, they will mention you. You know, kind of toss your bread on the wall, it'll come back to you. That's always been kind of my mantra. I have no idea if it's ever going to make penny one. It's not really that, you know, like I said, it's mostly something to give us a little preparation for our time. So, I've reached my destination. I am back at Eastern New Mexico University. Portales wrapped around it. Lisa comes here to shop at the Walmart here. And that's all I got to talk about. So have a great day.